Thank you. Yeah. God encounters. When I started to think about it, I realized I've had a few. And so I'll just start a very short testimony of my early life. I was born into a church-going family in Cambridge, a mum and dad, a brother Bruce, and a sister Jan. And it was a nominal church. And I never really encountered the Lord at that stage, probably because I couldn't hear, just the way I was looking at things. We had a great family, and we used to spend our holidays at Waihee Beach. And so I just need to share that when I was 10 years old, I saw my first surfer. And these two guys had brought surfboards over from Australia, and they'd paddle out on their knees and catch these waves. And I just looked and thought, I really want to do that. And we had our Lilos, and we pumped them up so tight, and then we'd try and kneel on them, then stand on them as we went along. But I hit up my dad, and I said, I really want a surfboard. And in his wisdom, he said, when you can swim a mile, you can have a surfboard. So I really wanted it. So after school, I used to bike down to the pools, and I used to swim. And took a bit over a year, and I was 12 years old, and I said, Dad, I'm ready. And he came down to the pool, and I did my laps. And so I got a surfboard when I was 12 years old. I couldn't really carry it. And so surfing had been part of my life, and it'll come in a little bit later. So really my story is of two halves. The first half was the first 30 years where I stumbled through on my own, and sometimes I would think I knew God was there, but I would ignore him or think I'm having too much fun. I thought I was having fun. And so I didn't really encounter God at that time. And then there was the second half that has been radical. And because I got to know God through Jesus, and it's my life has never been the same. So the last part of my first 30 years was I went to uni and did all the things that I shouldn't have done. And my life was full of sin, to be honest. And I had a broken relationship, and I had a really broken heart. And I never thought I'd feel like that, but I did. And I felt really empty and a mess. And I went back home, and I was digging deep because I really wanted some answers. And I started to read about Jesus in the New Testament. Not that I understood it. And when I got home, I'd always wanted to go overseas, so decided that was a good time to go. So I was getting my passport and everything, and still a mess. But before I left, and I think I already had my ticket, I knew I had to go and see a friend of mine. His name was Boz, and he was a guy I used to surf with at university. And I'd seen a life change in him. He and his girlfriend had encountered Jesus, and they'd become born again, and used to go around praising the Lord, and they did the right thing. They got married, and so I thought, I've got to go and see Boz before I leave. So by then, he was teaching up in Auckland, and I went to their place, and they greeted me, and, oh, g'day, and how's everything? Yeah, good. Come inside, have a cup of tea. And then they said, is really everything okay? And I said, no, not really. I'm a mess. And so I shared a little bit with them about my mess, and he just straight up, he just said, do you believe in God? And I said, oh, yeah, I do. I believe in God. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, do you know that you can ask Jesus into your life and he can help you? And before I thought with my brain about that, it was like something just pushed in my stomach, and I was just, it was from deep down, I just went, I want to do that. And it was like, I guess, my spirit witnessing that I needed to make that commitment. So he got really excited and he called on his wife. Oh, look, he wants to invite the Lord into his life. He prayed and then he stopped. And all of a sudden it was like, oh, I think I have to respond here. And I didn't know, I was embarrassed, didn't know what to pray. I was full of sin. And finally I got over my pride and everything. I broke down and I just said, I believe in you, Jesus. I need you in my life. Please forgive me all my sins. And the most amazing thing happened then. I'd heard about the Holy Spirit, but when I asked Jesus in, I felt this feeling, and it was like pins and needles, like warm honey being poured over. And so I felt the presence of God for the first time, and it became so strong. And I was sitting there, and I was thinking, this is amazing. This is getting strong. And I thought, if this gets any more, I'm going to go through the floorboards. It was so powerful. And I've never been the same since. And there's a scripture in Matthew 3:11, and it says that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And yeah, there it is. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So I got it. I got the dose. And there's another scripture in John that says, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. And so from that moment, I had more than a page full. I had screeds of sins that I was carrying, and all my sins were forgiven. And I knew it, and I felt free, just totally free. So from there, I just went overseas, did my thing, went first to Australia, did some work there. And then I travelled up through Central Australia, and I was in Cooper Pedy, which is right in the middle of Australia, where people live underground and mine for opals. And I was in a youth hostel, and the owner of the youth hostel came in at dinner time, and he just straight up just said, "Anyone in here believe in God?" And and I said, "Yeah, I do." And he said, "Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God?" And I said, "Yep." And he straight up said, "Have you been baptized?" And same thing happened. The Lord had been showing me. While I was in Australia, I couldn't go to sleep without reading the Word. If I tried to, I was restless. And so, and he'd started to show me that I need to be baptized. And so as soon as I heard him say that, I said, "Yep, I want to do that." He went, "Really?" So he said, "I'll come to you after dinner and we'll look at the Word." And so he did that, and I knew for sure I need to be baptized. In fact, that night I said, "Lord, don't let me die tonight, because I know I've got to be baptized." And I wanted to. So the next morning he arrived in his ute and threw his Bible into the dashboard, and dust came up, and it was right in the middle of the desert. And he said, "You'll remember this day for the rest of your life." And he said, "We'll pick up another believer." And I said, "But where's their water?" And he said, 7 miles out of town, there's a water hole." And I'm thinking, "Oh, yeah." So we drive out into the desert. And after a while, I could see a few gum trees. And then there was a sort of a shimmer. And sure enough, there's a water hole. So this guy, Ivan, he dunked me in the water hole. And that was pretty amazing. And I remember the words in Acts 2:38. And it says, Peter replied and he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then there's another bit that says, "And this is for you and your children and all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And that's an amazing promise. That's an amazing promise. If we believe in the Lord and are baptized into him, not only does it affect us, but God promises it'll affect our children and even more. So God is amazing. So I traveled overseas, and then I came back to New Zealand. And while I traveled, I surfed a little bit when I could. Back in New Zealand, I was working on an orchard, and on my weekend, this particular weekend, I went to Mount Maunganui and I had a surf, and I got to meet Gene. And we fell in love, and then we got married. So that was a pretty cool thing, and so we got married, and then we went to live in Makatu, because Jean said to me, I said, "Where do you want to live?" And she said, "I don't care as long as I'm with you." So we went to live in Makatu because I knew that there was a few waves there, and so it wasn't long into our marriage that we decided we wanted to have children, but medically Jean had some operations and she only had part of one ovary left, so it was very unlikely that we'd have children, and Jean shared that with me, and I said, "Well, the only one who can give us children is God." And at that stage, Jean was not a believer, or she believed but wasn't walking with the Lord. And she said, "How do we do that?" And I said, "Well, we need to pray and we need to ask." So we prayed and asked the Lord if we could have children. And the best Christmas present I've ever had was 5 days before Christmas, we found out that we conceived with our daughter Ange. It was so cool. And so that particular, and I said to Jean, "I really want to go to church and worship the Lord." And so I did that. And then Stevie came straight after, and we didn't even pray for him. Bring it on. So then I need to go to church for other reasons. there's a scripture that comes to mind. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16, and it says, "Be joyful always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all things." So I had a pretty full heart, really, that God had done an amazing miracle. It wasn't long after that that we actually shifted from Makatu back to Cambridge, and God did that. My job stopped over there, and I was looking for more work in the Bay, and nothing came up. But my dad did say to me that they had work at the timber mill, if I felt it was right, and the Lord just showed me so clear in his word, in Matthew 15, just honour your father and mother, help your father and mother. And so we moved into Cambridge. Which was a good thing. And I still work in that business, even though we live at Raglan. And while we were there, after church on a Sunday, quite often there was another couple of surfers in the church. We'd go and have a surf. And at that stage, Nathan was one of the guys Nathan was in the worship team with us, And I remember bringing him out to Raglan, and he surfed with us, and there were a lot of young people that did. And during that time, we heard about Christian Surfers, which is a mission for surfers that reach people for Jesus. And so we went up and served at a surf comp up at Shipwreck Bay, and then I laid it down because our children were young and I needed to be with Jean and the kids. But then came partway through youth group, and Jean said to me, "You need to contact those Christian surfers," because by then Stephen was surfing and skating and he needed a bit of input. And so I rang up the contact, which was Mike McGowan in Raglan, and they were doing a group midweek in Hamilton. So I took Stevie along and said, "I'll drop him off," and Mike said, "No, you surf. You might as well come too." So for the next 4 years or so, we hung out with the young guys on I think it was a Wednesday night, and went surfing. So that was pretty cool. I'll just see where I am. During that time, I shifted some really heavy furniture, and I ended up rupturing a disc in my back. And so And not only did it do that, but the stuff that came out of the disc was sitting on the nerve, so I couldn't really walk properly. And I tried to grit it out for some time, but then I knew I had to go. I couldn't work, and so I needed to go to a doctor. But prior to that, I remember going to a church. We had a really good church family in Bridges in Cambridge, and I was lying on my back because I could only lie down or stand up. I couldn't sit. It just wouldn't work. And so I was lying down, and the pastor's wife just came to me and said, "Gordy, I believe the Lord wants to heal you." And I'd already had it for 6 weeks, and I was booked in to see the specialist. So I went forward for prayer, and I didn't hear this, but apparently her little daughter grabbed hold of my leg, Amy, and just said, "Jesus, take the yucky out of Gordy." And something happened. God heard that little prayer. And there were other prayers prayed. I went to the specialist the next day, and he told me that, you know, you've got this pain down your leg. We can fix that. We just go in and we can suck it out of there. And I said, "Is that keyhole surgery?" He said, "No, it's a cut through your backstake. And you'll be 18 months before you're fully recovered." And I said, "Oh, I think Jesus is going to heal me." Something happened when I had prayer yesterday. He said, "That's the best thing, but I'm putting you in the list for..." Within 2 weeks, the Lord completely healed me. I took the family down to the mountain snowboarding. And my back has never been better. It's a miracle. And God answers prayers. So this is in James 5:15. There's a really neat little verse that says, "And prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and even the faith of a child." And so that was really, really life-changing for me. So I readily pray for people if they're not well. The next thing that happened was Stevie left home from Cambridge, and he came out here and did his apprenticeship with Mike McGowan, his Christian service leader. And Gene and I had a section out here at Raglan. And when he finished his apprenticeship and it was in the recession, we thought, oh, it'd be a good idea to build because it'll give Mike and Stevie work and I could get timber from our timber yard. So we started to build, and Gene and I went off on a Christian service mission trip to Fiji, which we do sometimes. And when we came back, the boys said, "Oh, while you're away, the section in front sold. And if someone builds on that, you'll lose the view of the harbour." And so I thought, oh, okay. And we really need to try and buy that. And so I started to pray because I thought, this guy probably won't sell. Approached him. He said he bought it for his partner. I spoke to her. And she said, if you want to sell, please give us the first refusal. And about 3 months later, she turned up, and our house was nearly finished. And she said, "Are you serious about this, buying that section?" And I said, "Yeah." We didn't have the money. But we had. And so she said, "Leave it with me." And 2 months later, her partner came and said, "Oh, he would sell if he could find another section like it." And so God has his ways. I mean, we had already thought, and Gina thought, perhaps we'd get a little place in Cambridge for midweek and then come out here. But to buy the section, we had to sell. And houses were not selling in Cambridge. It was the recession. And so we put our market up, our house on the market, and it just went so fast. So God shifted us out here. Praise the Lord. So it's good. I love this proverb. And Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." So, And then the last thing that I can share tonight is, while we're out here, I was asked if I consider praying and taking on the job as the Christian Surfers International Pacific representative. Because we were already going up into the islands and they needed someone to do the job. And I didn't feel I had the ability. I thought, gee, these other guys are pretty high powered and I'm just a simple timber worker. So, but I did pray and they encouraged us to go to the international conference. So our last Sunday in Bridges Church, we were like the naughty boys in the back and we were in church and the pastor Murray started to preach and then he just stopped and he just said, Gordy, I have a word for you. I'll give it to you later. And so that was fine. He started to speak again and apparently he got a vision that wouldn't go out of his sight. So he said, I'll have to give it to him now. And so Murray just said, and I'm thinking, should I do this job or not? And he just said, I see you paddling on a surfboard further than you've ever paddled before. Gene is backing you, and it's a place of leadership. He said, I don't know whether that means anything to you. And the hairs were standing up on my arms, and I'm thinking, man, if they ask me, I guess I have to say yes. So that's what I did. I said that when I got to international conference, I said yes. And one other last thing that happened at conference, on the last night, I'd already met a guy in the Pacific region. His name's Kevin from Tahiti, and he's shaped surfboards for over 20 years. And we were just as the conference finished, I was standing there, and he said, oh, I've got a really sore back. He said, I've had it for 18 months. I've been to doctors, and it's just something to do with my job. I'm always bending over, shaping boards. And he said, I haven't had a full night's sleep in 18 months. It always wakes me up. So this other New Zealander and I, we said, we'll pray for you. So just stood out there, prayed for him. And just as we finished, the presence of the Holy Spirit came in real power. And I said to Kevin, did you feel that? And he said, yeah, I felt that. So I saw him the next morning before he got on the plane. And I said, Kevy, how did you sleep? He said, right through the night. First time in 18 months, and he's still healed. And so God is in the business of healing. So just as Pastor Rogers said, we've been coming to Surfside just over a year. And when Stevie came back to Raglan, we came out here to Te Uku, early days of where we were to fellowship. And Roger encouraged people to bring a word after if they felt that the Lord had spoken to them, if Jesus had given them a word. And so one young girl, she just said, I feel the Lord has a word for someone or some people. He wants to say, welcome home. And I knew, I saw the Holy Spirit hit Stevie. And I thought, that's great. He's got somewhere to fellowship. But it also really hit me. And I realized that I was amongst people who love the Lord and are filled with the Holy Spirit and want more of Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you here that this is really special, that Jesus inhabits the praises of his people. So, yeah. So just to summarize, all I want to say is these few things. Ask Jesus into your life. Be baptized. Read the Bible. It's God's word. Pray and talk to God. Thank and praise and worship him. Receive the Holy Spirit and exercise the gifts that he's given you. Yeah.